Yeah, we always were on under the influence of some things every time we did this podcast. We were doing it in the studio because it was also a short period of time. So you feel like you needed to be activated
right
before you started recording. Like, how do I activate myself? Let's activate.
We need a red button. Realizing how incredibly sober I've been for a while doing these podcasts. I'm like, something been missing lately.
You didn't realize it was a luxury to like be able to do your creative work at home. This is the 1% of creative podcasters feel like. We're in the 1% of that in the sense that we can do this at the crib.
Yeah, but while I'm not drinking though.
I have a beer. You want one?
No, it ain't gonna do nothing for me.
And you're right.
It's too late.
It is way too late. But you know, it's funny, like between the caffeine and other things that we've done before this show. I was telling somebody, I was like, yo, it's crazy how, like, America kind of locks you into caffeine as the drug that you have to do. Because caffeine is a drug, but America's just super on board with it.
Absolutely like, is. Like, I can confirm. I can confirm.
They are so on board with caffeine. It's so crazy how, like, they act like it's not a drug, but it affects you so dramatically. It does. And should you so happen to...
I mean, not everybody, though.
No, you know what? Here's
some people are just hypersensitive. Some aren't. For some, they can get a nice... You know, it's like some people in weed. Sometimes it hits you real hard. Sometimes you just know how to act on it. It just does what it need to do for you.
I think the levels in which caffeine affects us are out of whack. I think we're so caffeine, like, it's always running through our system in
Jetty,
some level.
Is this an intervention for me?
No. Oh. But the reason I brought this up is because I was asking somebody, I was like, what is your personality like? And they were like, what do you mean? I was like well, you know, like, on nothing. like, what do you, like, when's the last time you were sober?
That person needs to have an intervention if they couldn't answer.
No, but see, the thing when I say sober, I mean like nix caffeine, nix all the other additives, all the things that people do, melatonin, septotonin, serotonin, all the stuff.
Give like, me all that shit.
Oh, so much shit that we do. I'm not sure if I'm even outgoing. I told him, I was like, you know.
Am I even me?
Yeah.
Who am I?
I was like, I always thought of myself as an outgoing person, but I've been doing crack since I was 15 so I could join the workforce. So I have no idea. Like, literally, like, I got a job and I was like, oh, crack? Is that how we get through this? Fine. So I'll do crack forever.
That's pretty much what we agreed to.
Yeah.
With America, like. Yeah, we'll do this job all day. Give me my crack first, though.
Give me my crack.
And I'll do everything I need to do.
And I'd be like, hey, Joseph. Hey, Mary. Hey, Sally. Like, if I wasn't on crack, would I give a fuck about Joseph, Mary, or Sally? Probably not.
It really does boost that mood up. Sometimes I'd be like, I need some coffee to, like, feel something. God. And then the next thing I know...
Next thing I know,
I love everybody and everything. I don't know what it is, y'all.
And they're going to be like, Jasmine is so nice and charismatic and outgoing. And the whole time she's on drugs.
And you tell me you can pick up when I've had caffeine. It really is true.
I mean, I
could be a different person.
To the point where I think it could kind of be like a driving hazard, too. You ever had like some real jitters?
Hell yeah.
You tell me jitters.
Yo,
is better
it
than-
makes me paranoid, too. Sometimes when I'm over caffeinated, when I leave home for work, when I'm in the car, I'm like, did I turn the stove off? It makes me paranoid like that.
Ooh.
I'm like kind of hypersensitive to caffeine. So when I overdo it, like my brain is doing a lot.
I'm
the most creative though. And I'm the most paranoid sometimes. And I'm shaky.
It's a fucking drug.
Yeah.
And they sell it at stores all across America. And ironically enough, you would never get, you could get a ticket for reckless driving for being tired. You would never get a ticket for reckless driving, being high on caffeine and being tired. And you can still tell. It's the same thing. Trust me, like being tired and driving while being on caffeine is just as distracted, if not worse, than drunk driving. But you won't get a ticket for that.
All right, you pushing
exhausted
it.
Driving? Exhausted driving.
Oh, you're
terrible.
Talking about exhausted. I thought you said or on caffeine. I was like, huh?
If you're exhausted on caffeine, you are delusional.
The closest I've came to crashing was when I was exhausted. Not when I was drunk.
Me too. I well, neither one of us drink and drive, but tipsy for them. Like, you know, everybody's driven buzzed at some point in their lives. We'd never recommend it.
I mean, in college, let's be real, we did that. I definitely don't do it anymore. If there's a chance I'm about to go take shots, I will Uber.
Yeah. And it's honestly just a discernment thing, you know, like you would rather not learn it the hard way. Exactly. But sometimes you'll learn it the hard way vicariously through people. And you'll be like, well, guess what? God sends me a sign and I read them.
All right.
We are not DW out here. That is a sign and we can read.
That's right. Drums, please. Drums, please.
Man, what a time. You've got mail.
You get scared to leave this stupid.
Oh! Yes. Thanks for coming out tonight. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with me. I appreciate that.
Hello, Moto.
Okay, I be listening to that theme song.
No, wait. Do you be listening to that theme song? Do you? Because last I checked, you be checking your phone and your emails and shit with the theme song be on. What you about to say?
Well, as I was saying, I be listening sometimes to the theme song. Sometimes. It plays every time we record, okay? Mm-hmm. And it just dawned on me, I haven't seen Home Improvement in years. Years! I don't know why I missed the show all of a sudden now.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas, hi, where you at?
Which one is the crick?
There it is.
One day I'm going to know this damn soundboard.
To be honest with you, I don't know it. It's mine. yeah, Home Improvement is really... It's really weird and not that great in hindsight. I don't know why we even bought that into it as is. These niggas was really selling.
It was that man over the fence. Duh.
You know, it also reminds
iconic.
Me that Drake said, I ain't on the fence about it. I ain't Mr. Feeny.
Ain't on the fence about it. I ain't Mr. Feeny.
Whenever he first came out, I was like, I might have to cut this nigga off. What do you mean on the fence about it? I ain't Mr. Feeny. Those are two different shows. Two different people.
Did Wilson, they have a fence between the houses?
Mr. Feeny had a fence, but that was a clear Wilson reference from Home Improvement. But he said Mr. Feeny. They both TGIF. He was just wrong.
I think so.
Nah.
Okay, so I would like to start the show, the second start to the show, actually, where we get into the actual content,
this is
to be clear.
Intro.
A couple of announcements here. First, Paramount Plus, another streaming service on your head and in your pockets, baby.
In your pockets is an understatement. These people have been doing nothing during the pandemic but figuring out ways to take what little money we have.
Listen, you can't watch everything in one place no more, okay? You have a cable bill, right?
This is way more than a cable bill. A few years ago.
Netflix, Hulu, Peacock, Amazon Prime.
Cut the cord. And now here, you just named four of the big hitters, but there is HBO Max, there's Disney Plus, there's
Stars, Showtime.
I still got HBO Go. I got HBO Go and HBO Max. I used to have HBO Now.
Me too.
I had all three of them shits.
Yeah, so they will be bringing us some new old content.
It's
our
so
favorite
random.
Shit, huh?
It's so random. And you know what? That's not going to...
Hold
list
on,
off
wait.
This.
What's the plus? What is the plus thing? Disney Plus, Paramount Plus? What is that?
It's an iPhone. Paramount Plus Pro Max.
What is that?
I don't know.
Is it just a way to make it cool? Just
somebody went into some survey and they were like, we're going to say a bunch of things and then we're going to add the plus next to it and let us know if that sounds better. All right, you ready? Deer Park. Deer Park Plus. Ooh, nigga, Deer Park Plus. What they got in that? I don't know.
Tell us what they'll be bringing to the service.
Okay, this wild array of things that is by far the most pandering list of things that you could possibly think of. Paramount Plus is going as diplomatic as they can possibly be. Starting off with Frasier, Kelsey Grammer,
Frasier?
Yep, salad and scrambled eggs.
But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Frasier has left the building.
Like reruns or a reboot? Reruns, right?
You know, they also haven't been super clear about what is technically the reboot and what is really the rerun.
You know,
don't you
what?
Feel like everything's getting the reboot, rerun?
Yeah, basically. Rerun, you know what? Frasier doesn't seem like one of those shows that be on often. So this might hit for somebody now that I think about it. I haven't seen this in the TV. I haven't seen a TV guide in a long time, but I haven't seen Frasier in one either. So
if one existed, if Frasier wouldn't be in it.
I just feel like if I scrolled the TV guide, Frasier is not in the lineup. I could be wrong, though.
It did not have that boost that Friends and Seinfeld had from that era.
I feel like it belongs there, but I don't.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like Friends went off air more recently than that, and Seinfeld was just a completely new take on comedy, and I think that's why that worked that way. Frasier was, I want to say it was in that arena where it was like, this is some new shit, but it were just like really bougie white people.
I don't remember a thing about this.
They were just super bougie white people living with their dad. It was a really bougie white dude.
Living with their dad? Yeah. I thought everybody was old and grown on here. No.
I mean, old-ish, but like 20, 30, 30 okay. years old maybe. Kelsey Grammer is a bougie white dude who lives with his southern father. And his southern father always, you know, he don't do nothing like the highbrow whites. And it's one of those kind of, it's a city mouse, country mouse show. That's what I'm looking for.
This is my first time ever knowing what Frasier was about.
I'm not going to watch it. My mama liked that show, though. So,
hey, shout out to your mama. Hey. Look, they got something for you.
Hi, mommy.
Okay. Let her log in now.
I will.
What's next?
The game.
The game. Yes. Wait, the game. Okay, I remember us talking about this.
Yeah, CW
a while back, saying that they were rebooting it, but I thought that was a dead idea. It's still happening.
So I thought it wasn't happening anymore either, because I could have sworn that was one of those things that got like pandemic shut down. It was like,
yeah, it was just like, all right, y'all, we tried, we can't do it. But it's over.
Them people seem to be over obligated doing too many other things. And they are beloved for this reason, you know.
But who would come back, though? Like, I can see one or two of them coming back, but they rebooted the show essentially twice. So it's like, a lot. It's like,
late pull for BET doing the game, like the one that ended in like 17, something like that.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
Dramatic.
Yeah. What I mean, like, I didn't watch it, but I will say, how are they going, like, what the universe is really fucked up in that arena. And this is another reason why you should.
And everybody has to be retired at this point, too.
From football.
Yeah.
You're right about that. Well, not necessarily. There is some really long, but they would not be popular.
I don't know, JD. I'm very curious.
Jason Pitts aged out before that ended, but yeah, Malik and Derwin would be like really not popular old ass football players now if they were still playing at all.
I mean, or would they have to be so popular that that's why they have longevity and stayed in the game? I don't know. I'm curious, though. I don't think there's a lot of information out about what this is going to look like. I can't imagine there is. I haven't seen any posts, so we're going in blind here, people.
Quite frankly, all I really need from that is Wendy Raquel Robinson and Kobe Bell.
Honestly and truly. Yeah. What's next?
Behind the Music. They're bringing the original cast back for that, too.
Wait. Okay, Behind the Music can be fun, though. I'm intrigued. I like that idea.
Now, the Behind the Music used to be like a full documentary style background about an artist that's kind of popular and peaking in the moment. It's not one of these post, like, you know, his career is over kind of thing.
Right.
And I feel like that's a solution to our Lifetime movie problem. Because we have a Lifetime movie problem.
Okay, who would you want to see on Behind the Music?
Wendy Williams. I mean, right now, artists like Saweetie and Janae and Tiller and Brent Faiyaz, I don't know anything about them. Not that I care as much as younger people might, but that would be very interesting for people 5 to 7 or 8 years younger than us to like see some of that. But I mean,
you don't think they're, well, Instagram, a couple of them are a few of those people you named, I think, are a little too early in their career still.
See, I would feel it that has way to too, be, but Beyond the Music was kind of like that. It wasn't always that late.
It's not a sweet spot where it's like you've done a lot, but you have a lot more to go. Like, I'm thinking like Big Sean.
You're poking holes in the industry right now as it is. And Big Sean is a good example. That'd be a good idea for him to do a Behind the Music because he's an industry guy. But most of our faves aren't even an industry. They're not even industry artists anymore. So how would they even bother? You know what I'm saying? Because longevity is hard to say whenever you compare, let's say Usher doing a Behind the Music in 2003, right? He's got a decade worth of content. And he's dropped an album every 2 or 3 years. But his contracts are set up in a way where he owes the label albums every 2 or 3 years. So he had to do that way.
True.
These artists right now drop whenever they want to because they ain't signing nobody. They just tour. So, like, there is no legs for artists to have been. Maybe a Brent Faiyaz or a Bryson Tiller or, you know, Saweetie would have something like that if they were in those label industry contracts because 5 years would be 3 albums.
Maybe so, but I still think the time put in is still too short right now.
I don't think it even makes sense with the way the industry is now. I think you pointed out the reason why it might not work.
Yeah, well, that's another one. We'll see how that goes.
The real world is coming back. A story about 6 strangers that live in a house. And I forgot the rest of that. But there's an episode of this where we actually rehearse all the entire Real World intro.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Some years back.
We say the whole theme, the whole opening.
We were some babies.
We really were. So, new seasons. I mean, the Real World didn't end too long ago. So, interesting.
Well, I mean, it definitely did not have the youth invested, I don't think. I don't think Real World could not possibly have the pool that the Jersey Shore cast obviously has. MTV must have tested it. And it just seems like, you know, it's weird. You always talk about how you depression binge watch the same comfort shows and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's something psychotic about all of us watching a bunch of 40-year-olds act like 20-year-olds on TV for 20 years. That's fucking crazy.
Wait, are you talking about Jersey Shore?
Yeah, yeah. Like,
I mean, they wasn't that old at first.
No, but it's psychotic to see a bunch of 40-year-olds rehash like their 20s on TV. Because here's the thing. It's 2021. The last season of Jersey Shore I watched was in 2009, and it wasn't new. So we're talking about 10-plus years, and they were 30-ish. Why do 17-year-olds watch Jersey Shore stuff at all? They're 40.
Well, I feel like a lot of their audience are people who watch the first round and, you know, are invested in these people.
I was excited
when it came back. I think I watched, like, 5 episodes.
They're really calling us out on our clear, like, long-term clinical depression because we're crazy for that. Teen Mom, too. We're crazy for that. We're crazy.
Oh, that's... I thought that from day one. Like, what? It's girls in my hood that was teen moms and getting none of the perks like this, bitch. I don't like that shit.
Teen Mom wasn't even a fresh idea. Like, teenagers been having babies since Motown, nigga.
Teen moms everywhere. This is not
nigga, how old was Mary?
Phenomenon.
How old was Joseph? The Real World. Sorry. So yeah, they are bringing the cast of the first season back for that.
How they reeling us in. That's how they reel you in. Bring the old niggas back.
It's weird. To me, it's going to be a social experiment in wondering why people would choose to do this as opposed to me being like, I wonder what they've been doing. I don't give a fuck.
Hey, some people do, JD.
You got to be so removed from the first season of Real World at this point.
I don't even know if I watched the first season, but it is iconic.
I remember MTV playing it back, and I've seen little snippets of it. Because, I mean, like, after I started, there's a few seasons of Real World where I watched every episode.
Yeah. Same.
But whenever I went back, and I was like, oh, this is crazy. Like, started in the 90s. People that watched that should be, I mean, there's no way anybody from Pins and Needles, like, thank God, I've been waiting for these niggas to get back together.
I've been waiting to see what Marie was about to do.
They've been outside of Paramount Studios, like, bring back the First Class of Real World.
Hey, it might, you know, it's going to draw some kind of audience for sure.
Yeah.
Lastly, in the animation world, we're getting SpongeBob and Rugrats. Yeah, classic Nickelodeon.
I heard Sandy wasn't coming back for SpongeBob, though.
What?
Yeah.
Sandy?
Nah, he's not going to make it.
For real?
Yeah.
Where's Sandy at?
COVID. She good, but you know she's from Texas, y'all, so you know.
Listen, Sandy is from Texas. This shit don't scare her. The fuck? Sandy coming back. You sat there and lied and call her weak. I guess it deep in my heart, I'll always be a Texas girl. I wanna go home.
Sandy
might be safer down there.
But she did already have, she was already sort of covering her face. She's in a facial covering.
Exactly. Sandy prepared for this shit, okay?
Sandy in Texas like, y'all complain about masks? Bitch, I live under the sea.
I live under the sea and I'm a fucking squirrel, bitch. This is light work. But is SpongeBob getting the new animation like Rugrats is?
You know, I doubt it only because SpongeBob also didn't go off air that long ago. It was never taken off air.
It's one of those things where it's like new episodes of SpongeBob in like 2016. And then they'll be like, new episodes, it's 2019. Like, it's one of those things that keep coming back over and over. I'm not imagining that, right? Yeah. They keep making new SpongeBob.
Cartoons was always like that. Kids was just stupid. And they knew that. They knew we were stupid.
Yo, but they wasn't releasing them like years later. What like they just gave us a batch.
They gave you a batch and sometimes
let it simmer for a long time and then gave you a new batch and not seasons. Just threw them out whenever.
Threw them out. I mean, and they call them seasons, but they're spread out over the course of 3 years more often than not. And like, and your attention span is set up in a way where sometimes you were like watching that Kwanzaa episode of Rugrats like, what the hell is Kwanzaa? You learned it last year, but it's like, Kwanzaa. Ma, come here. Kwanzaa, what is this? It was like, you saw that last week.
I'm not going to lie. I remember watching the same episodes over and over and over again like they were new. Like,
I
was obsessive. When I was introduced to Rugrats, I watched that shit like crazy.
I mean, and here's the thing. Like, it's so good because they know kids are like that. And for parents who don't want to have to, like, concern themselves with, like, picking up any new stuff. Because I'm kind of, like, I'm watching Doc McStuffins with my goddaughter right now. By the way, Loretta Devine's in that.
I did it for you.
Thank you so much. And I started it because, you know, Black is on Disney Plus. You know, my goddaughter's Black. And she likes it. So guess what? That's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm getting invested in these characters. This is a doctor who gives out fake diagnoses. People come in, they're like, oh, I got too much stuff. She's like, oh, you got stuffiosis. I like that. That's funny as hell.
That's cute. I like that. Is that it?
Yeah. With the Rugrats? Yeah. Well, I mean, for now, clearly Paramount Plus is going for the jugular when it comes down to some of these things.
This is interesting. This is an interesting lineup of shows they're bringing.
Have you seen the promo for it? They are knocking us over the head with this shit.
Honestly, no, I haven't. So I'm going to go check that out. When is it dropping? Like the actual app, service, whatever.
What's today? The 3rd? It's dropping in an hour.
Oh. And a half. By the time you hear this episode, you can go give Paramount Plus your dollars. Maybe they'll give you a free trial for a week or two.
I think they're bringing out the MTV and VH1 and BET Vault because I know that they own all that stuff. And everybody's on the internet clamoring for that shit. And I'll tell you one thing. They're going to have me completely locked in if I see any inkling of I Love The. If I see I Love The anything. If somebody is like, hey, I
Come
love
on, this. Come on, classic VH1. Because that's what essentially they're trying to do is bring back a lot of these classic VH1, MTV shows.
The way I'm going to have an I Love the Party. I'm going to watch I Love the 80s, I Love the 90s, I Love the 2000s. I love the series. It's my shit.
All right.
You know, I like list of things. If you just so happen to list something, sign me up for that.
You like categories? It's a list game.
Hell yes.
Another thing that I just saw on the internets on today, we will be getting a Janet Jackson documentary on A&E Lifetime. Did they merge or something? Or are they owned by, like, I don't know how that works, but it was A&E and Lifetime. It's going to be
What does A&E stand for?
Arts and Entertainment.
Say, swear to God.
I don't know.
I bet you it's some white people's names.
I don't think so. I feel like I'm right.
Albert and Einstein or some shit like that. It stands for art. Oh!
What does it stand for?
Arts Entertainment.
Yay!
Kudos.
That girl be knowing shit. Holla at me. Unfortunately, we won't be getting it till 2022, but...
Right around the corner.
It truly is. We get a nice little peek into her, you know, talking about the loss of her brother and her dad and... Just, we gonna really, she's I don't think brother? We've seen.
Sorry. Go ahead.
That went over my head. I was like, huh? Do you know what Janet I'm talking about? Did I say Jackson? So yeah, I'm very excited about that. They have like hours and hours of footage apparently, and they've been doing this for like years. And I don't think we've seen Janet so intimately like this, so I'm excited to see this when it premieres.
I just, whoever is doing the audio track on that documentary,
turn it
I
up.
Know you're going I know you're going through it. I know you're going through it. Like, what? What the hell?
Yeah, I'm very excited about this, so.
I am too. I love Janet Jackson. I don't know if I can say that enough. I'm a huge Janet Jackson fan.
Me too.
You may have heard me mention oftentimes how I do think she makes R&B that is aesthetically unlike other people's stuff. Yeah. And that's noted. It's noted to me.
And I think this is a part of a celebration of 40 years since her first album. 16 years old. So.
Oh, man. That's the one with Let's Wait a While on it. And that's my shit. Let's wait a while. Before we go too far. Oh my God, those vibes are crazy. Ooh, you know, I'm so excited.
I might get into a rabbit hole on tonight.
Do that shit. I do that shit. And you know, it was not super long ago I was talking to you about her being on Herb Alpert's Making Love in the Rain. And immediately after that, her damage came out. And she sampled that song.
That's beautiful.
I know. I spoke it up. Thank you, her.
Next up in TV land, just an announcement in case you missed it, because I missed it.
Not I.
I missed this. I don't know how JD let me miss the fact that Kenan Thompson has a show on NBC.
Yes, Kenan Thompson has been taking his career very seriously lately. He's showing up all the places, doing all the things. He's got a sitcom with Chris Redd. He's doing SNL. He was on the Golden Globes. Oh, he did, like, he was in LA and New York back to back to back during COVID, like with 3 days. I don't think any other celebrities even taking on that kind of schedule right now, but my man is coming for blood right now. So check out Kenan's new show.
Go off. And we'll have some commentary whenever we watch a few episodes, when we dig all the way in there.
That's right. Jazz and I, you know, we are thorough and thoughtful. You know, a lot of you people aren't thorough and thoughtful. You have jump and split conclusions and statements. You judge things too quickly. We're thoughtful.
Okay, we're going to put the time in first. All right. So JD and I watched the Framing Britney Spears doc by New York Times. If you haven't watched it and you plan on doing that now, it gets tricky.
It's on Hulu. It's a code. It's a secret code.
It's on Hulu, but you have to put in New York Times, right?
You have to put in New York Times. It's an episode of a New York Times series that specializes, whose focus is Britney Spears in that episode. Exactly. It's episode
six. It's one episode out of a series, okay? So put New York Times as you type it into Hulu. Don't just go in there putting framing Britney Spears, okay?
And feel Thank free you. To hold this against Hulu for not having a search engine that makes more sense. Right? More adaptable for the lazy American that is watching the show.
It should catch all of that because I put framing and Britney Spears. It should still come up. This doc is focused on Britney Spears' up and down, estranged relationship with media. And when I say media, I mean paparazzi, tabloids, and journalists, and you know, that whole field. It was different back then, way different. The height of Britney's career was the height of tabloids.
Yeah, yeah.
Different kind of beasts. I mean, paparazzi all in your face all the time.
And you know, like, after watching that, it makes me wonder if she even wanted to do any of the stuff she did. I'm curious as to whether or not she wanted to even sing. Literally, like, so many people have had so many control of this woman's life. It is scary to me. Scary.
Right. And, you know, let them tell it. It was one of those situations where it was like, well, Britney Spears really loved us and she would stop and give us our shots and we had a positive relationship. And it was like, yeah, she was also very happy at that time. Obviously, things changed when she started going through her personal shit. And after being in the business for that many years, can't you imagine you get exhausted? I don't care how the relationship started.
Well, I mean,
now I'm going through my shit. She had a high profile breakup with Justin Timberlake. That was huge. I was very invested in Justin.
I thought all of that was fake. I thought all of that was fake.
I did not give a goddamn. I was like 10 years old.
Well, I didn't give a goddamn in the same sense that I did not give a goddamn. But I feel you.
I'll go back. They started together on the Mickey Mouse Club.
That's right.
Singing
That's
all right. that black ass soulful music. And look, they did good. All right. I enjoy some of them performances that come across my timeline. They on there singing Boys to Men and Jodeci and Toni Braxton and Mary J. Blige. A vibe.
It's weird too because it would be so strange to see that today.
Just
turn on the TV and see a group of white kids. I mean, literally, just white kids. Because there weren't really a lot of
diversity.
People of color in the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. But a group of white kids just come out and be like,
wrecking my brain like crazy.
Jodeci cry for you.
I'm all torn up.
Like, it's so crazy. Like, who wants to see that?
That Jodeci cry for you, top tier. I mean, I feel so crazy because they really did good. Like, it blows my mind.
They were super talented and obviously part of a machine. Like, a lot of them were cream that rose to what some people would consider a top.
Yeah, I'll say it was a good foundation. But I know Britney in particular, it didn't catapult her career. She didn't just go straight into having a deal and all that.
Did any of them?
That's why I said Britney specifically, because I don't follow any of their careers that closely to know, you know, what happened after.
I didn't realize Gosling was on it until super late.
But yes, so many people were on there. Gosling? Who knew he was singing down like that?
He's Canadian, too.
But she started doing this thing that was popular in the 90s, which was mall performances. So it started as one of those things where it's like, if you in the mall, it's like, oh, performer, let me go see what they hitting on. But it turned when people started going to the mall to see Britney.
Yeah, they had
That's
mall tours.
That's a change of pace.
Do you remember mall tours?
Yes.
Because, you know, I remember people talking about, and I missed this period of time, but Tiffany. Tiffany in the late 80s, she had that song, I Think We're Alone Now, that song. She was a mall tour girl. That song became a big hit because of malls. And people used to go to malls to see big artists that they were pushing, and they had those fake recording booths inside of the mall.
Oh my God, yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
Who did an episode?
Fresh Prince had an episode about that.
Fresh Prince.
But going to the mall was literally like being inside of the mall and on the boardwalk at a tourist spot. For just like the same levels of things were happening there. They had big events that brought huge crowds, and they had enough like riffraff where you would be like, record an album, buy a timeshare, buy some shoes, buy a computer. Like, you were just doing everything.
Everything at the mall. Like,
for real.
But it spawned Baby One More Time. That started as her big mall tour hit, and it became mega.
And I mean, if nothing else, I can say that Baby One More Time is an impeccably written and produced song. That piano riff just, I mean, a crack, cocaine, something. I mean,
like, everything okay. about it, like the look in the video, I mean,
oh my God, like, oh,
baby.
And the bridge, the, oh, baby, baby. What she do when they space it out, she just. She's so country. It's so funny because I don't think I ever remember a pop star being this outwardly country and not making country music. Okay. Britney Spears is very country and it's all pop. But when you get to that little bridge and the, oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know? Oh, baby, baby, I shouldn't have let you go. That right there is country as shit.
Man, what a time for pop music. This was, pop music was different. It was different beasts. Like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and Christina Aguilera. We talk about this on the episode.
And like five writers. Five old white writers for
making
everything.
That sexual ass music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so weird too.
It's not right.
They hire those people to like, come back on American Idol whenever they were writing the final song.
Yeah.
They were like, they work with legendary writer, producer, and it's just this old middle-aged woman is like, yes, I wrote Oops, I Did It Again, and I wrote the thong song. You like, what? You did what? And I wrote Emotions from Mariah Carey. Like, what? This range is so crazy. What else did you
Don't
write?
Say nobody wrote nothing for Mariah Carey, okay?
No, people wrote stuff for Mariah Carey.
It was rare. It was a collab effort. They didn't do it for her. They might have worked together.
All I care is that she wrote her parts on I Know What You Want. I love that song. Oh, and Obsessed.
I really love that damn song.
What? Obsessed?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a motherfucking bop. Like, people, it's underrated.
So like I was saying before, you know, that paparazzi lifestyle is probably fun when you're 18 and having the time of your fucking life and always upbeat and got your best clothes on, because that's what you do when you a damn teenager. You go out and you look cute and you smile and you be with your friends and you're happy. Ain't nothing wrecking your life right now.
You said best clothes on, or best lack thereof.
Best lack thereof. So, of course, maybe this started off as some positive thing that celebrities have with paparazzi. And it's kind of sick now when you think back and people say, this is what you signed up for. Did I sign up for this? Or did I sign up to use my talents to entertain and or heal the world? This is a consequence, a con, unfortunately. But I ain't signed up for this much attention.
It's very likely that your point is absolutely right. But I'm also curious as to whether she even actually signed up for it generally.
That's another point. But also, in those dark moments, obviously I didn't sign up for you to invade my privacy. Mm-hmm. What? Mm-hmm. And to break down my life and tell me who I am. I ain't signed up for that shit.
Well, more so than that, you know, you would watch somebody go through their privacy being invaded, knowing that you're a person who wouldn't like their privacy invaded, doing it incessantly over the course of several years, and then wondering why somebody would be paranoid to the point of what you would consider crazy.
What you would consider crazy, or a breakdown, whatever you want to call it.
And the what you would consider part is really, really important, because people have like moments of self-actualization all the time that mean different things for different people. And shaving your head is far from a huge call from help, I think, in this period in time. Women cut their hair for way, you know, it's not always a crisis. You know, yeah. This isn't me saying, because it's like really the talk of the time, but I'm talking about shaving it bald. That can be sort of a bold move. But just like you were saying with that shot that paparazzi took in that car, it was kind of a good look. Yeah.
Listen, Britney looked good with a shaved head. There are some shots that they posted in that doc that I was like, wait, this was real cute.
Yeah. It's wild to me because, I mean, like, in real time, I was just being spoon-fed what I thought was something that was okay for America to just be like, hey.
Exactly. Like, we really took everything they print it as law, and it's kind of crazy to think about now. But going back to the Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears breakup, woo, what a fucking time. Because for one, nobody really knows what happened, what led to the breakup. All you know is Justin Timberlake got ahead of it and created this narrative that turned into pretty much defamation. Like, he pretty much let people insinuate that she cheated or did something so bad that it broke his heart, and he did that Cry Me a River, like, unforgettable. That's a fucking hit. Well, but what happens at that time is kind of wrong.
He's always had golden boy syndrome, and that was really something that I had already kind of, like, had a good note on. Like Gerard mentioned, they were talking about whether or not Jake Timberlake had ever said the N-word, and Gerard was like, come on. Like, you know what I'm saying? I thought about that, and I remember thinking, yeah, Timberlake skirts, he's been able to skirt out of so many sticky situations for so long that it makes me feel like, I'm not going to say he's a bad person. I really have no idea.
Yeah, of course not. He was young, too. I mean, I don't know if that's ever an excuse, but it kind of is valid.
I'm going to make it all make sense whenever we wrap. Like, I'm going to make it all make sense, because something about this I'm realizing is a trend with all of these exposés that we are, you know, coming into terms with as of late.
Yeah, but you remember how invasive they were. I mean, even outside of Justin Timberlake asking Britney about her virginity and stuff. Like, why? Wait,
say that again.
They would ask about her virginity, like, if she still had it, and she explained to them, like, you know, she was saving herself for marriage. So it was a huge deal for Justin Timberlake to go on air and say he had sex with her.
Oh yeah, that clip is so heinous.
Justin Timberlake is in the house, and I just want to ask you one question. Did you Britney Spears? Yes or no?
Oh man,
come on, man. Okay, I did it. No, yeah!
And you know what did he do that thing? Well, he did that thing where he tried to be a good guy and laugh out of it before being really peer pressured to say what somebody wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Here's the thing. I said say something somebody wanted to hear, because granted, it may or may not be true. I'm sure. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I don't really care. But it's not anybody else's business. And an adult would know that.
Yes. I mean, they agreed to not talk about it. I want to say this was something Britney said, you know, we would never talk about, like, sexual things, our breakup. Like, all of this stuff was just stuff, obviously, they had to talk about not publicly speaking on. I know they had that conversation.
So while Britney is explaining to, like, TV hosts and interviewers that she's saving herself for marriage, Timberlake is admitting that he hit.
I don't know the timeline of when she explained her life plan, but that's what people took. Wow. Is that she did say out loud that she was saving herself for marriage. So I don't know, between her saying that and when Justin Timberlake said he had sex with her, I don't know how much time is in between, but I'm pretty sure people are still thinking that was her mindset.
Wow. Yeah.
Either way it goes, it just shouldn't have been confirmed that they had sex, even if you insinuate it. It just shouldn't have been confirmed by him.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly.
But this started a long, long, estranged relationship with media. This is where it really started to go downhill from her. And I don't think it ever got better, because after that, she's in that marriage with Kevin Federline. Right. And that was like all over the place. And she lost custody of the kids. Like, and I'm just like, I wonder what went on, though. Like, why did she lose the kids? Like, was it the narrative painted by the tabloids? Or do you think things were going on privately that we didn't know? Or I guess what I'm asking is, how much of the media coverage could have swayed a court or a judge in that decision?
And I mean, honestly, even if somebody were to tell you that it definitely didn't, how much psychologically, like, how ingrained in pop culture is that even in your head, you're just gone? You already think the worst of this person because media's been nailing it into you for so long. It doesn't take much to do that.
Yeah, it's something to think about.
I mean, to ask the question, I would argue that that's definitely the case, because I don't really see how it could not. Because I mean, especially if for some reason it was up to any board or jury of people, because I mean,
yeah, and it's not to say there wasn't private things going on. I'm not invalidating that. I'm just wondering how much of the other side played into it. Simply,
the weird thing about that is, to date, I don't know of any records of things that went wrong as far as like how she raised her kids, so on and so forth.
You know, there was that picture of her driving with the baby in her lap.
That's a bad idea.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that was like,
it's a country biggest idea, though.
It's country. It's, I mean, that's the country, I mean, for you.
Think about coming where she's from. It does seem like something that happened before she was famous and before anybody was psychotic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something to note. You know what's so crazy to me is that during that period of time, like, Britney was the butt of all the jokes. It was a Yo Mama joke to tell a Britney joke. It was everywhere. And you would think, like, maybe just the white rooms. No, like, SNL, Def Comedy Jam, like, Comic View. Everybody was like, Britney, look, you know, just really tearing her a new one without any merit. And it's just so crazy to me that the tone of the time was that we could just talk about human beings like that for display in front of children and families at home on NBC on late night, you know, yeah, stuff like that. It's crazy to see Jay Leno on NBC talking about Britney Spears in a way that's like clearly misogynistic and sexist and like terrible.
Yeah, I'm sure it was pretty rare for anybody to come to her defense on such a platform.
Yeah, I mean, because it really was not the trend. But I did see a clip recently of Craig Ferguson. He was a late night show host on CBS, saying that he was, you know, reining in his Britney jokes because he thought it was getting a little inhumane, and it's not really what comedy stands for.
I think my aim's been off a bit recently. I want to change it a bit. So tonight, no Britney Spears jokes.
A divorce does hurt, and a custody battle does hurt, and the things that people saw in the media was a result of her privacy being taken away from her. So you right. saw her lowest moments.
I mean, and you know what? I think it's possible that relationship, you know, did have its issues. But I wonder how often we are the issue for that relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I feel the same way about Kim and Kanye. How often are we the problem?
Oh, my God. Beating that relationship to a pulp, yeah, and don't know a damn thing about nothing right. they got going on.
It would drive me nuts being madly in love with somebody and having to hear them being discussed the way that, you know, Britney Spears was discussed all day, every day. I would hate going to the grocery store and seeing a magazine. Like, you can't really breathe. Like, that puts a lot of strain on a relationship.
It goes to ask, like,
I would be crazy. I would be fucking crazy.
Well, that's the whole point of this shit.
I'm going to shave my head.
That's the whole point of this shit. It's just like, not only am I going through some of my darkest moments, but y'all are like,
the darkest moments we created,
judging me and creating a narrative without even know. You just saw a bad picture of me or a moment where, look, if you brought a camera sometimes to my fucking room, you would think I was fucking crazy and check me in somewhere because I'm sad, nigga. What do you think people do when they're sad?
But I mean, and lucky for you, you're sad whenever you are sad because of stuff that's actually happening to you in your life and not just being under a microscope. You're not sad because you're a prisoner, you know what I'm saying, to your entire life.
That's a whole different thing. The other side of that is, this is obviously somebody who couldn't trust a lot of people around her. And the same goes for Mariah Carey. We did the same thing to Mariah Carey years later. And I read her book about what she was actually going through in those times that we beat her to a pulp in the media. Like, well, I mean, you just don't know what people are going through. And the fact that we were just taking pictures and telling them what they were going through and who they were, like, that's got to break a person down even more than they already are.
What you said about Mariah Carey, I'm glad you mentioned the fact that there's other pop stars that kind of live under this crazy microscope.
Huge.
But mainly because I want to note that what's happening right now with us discussing Framing Britney and a few other scandals that are like becoming a big deal over the course of, like, post-pandemic's been like a falling out every time you turn around, like, like, this has happened even since Cosby. Really? And it's really the falling of white men controlling everything. Because when I was young, I really thought that these pop stars deserved the scrutiny because they were vain and they were always asking for attention. And because they sold these people to me as if they were the 1%. But knowing what I know about those contracts now, it's their masters that have really, you know, really made this so bad. And those people's masters are what's, it's bursting at the seams, white men having control over other human beings for money and sport. Because the basketball is the same thing. Everything I talk about all the time is really the basis of really, really rich white men controlling women or minorities in some way, shape, or form. But tell me I'm wrong.
They ain't
though.
Ready for that.
I hate that it had to be like that, because it does kind of sound like really like controversial, but look at all the scandals. It all boils down to somebody's white money controlling somebody else.
Yeah. Which brings us to her conservatorship.
Yeah.
Which has been controlled by her father and some other people for years and years. And it's crazy because, one, she said she doesn't want her dad over it. She said that out her mouth, like, you know, I don't mind if y'all think I need this, but can my dad not be over it? Secondly, there is a clip on there where she literally says, if I wasn't involved with all these people, like, legally, like, I could be free and I could be myself, and I'm sad. She literally says that on camera. What, like, kind of adult? This is ruining my life. And nothing was done at that moment.
But you know what else? If you're crazy, if, let me not use that term. If you are having a psychotic episode or you're struggling with any sort of chemical imbalances, you are still a free will. People don't get forced into insane asylums unless they're a threat to society. Yeah. So Britney Spears, I think the worst thing she could do.
Conservatorship even is for people that might, I don't know, have, I guess, dementia or something. Like, literally, I can't make decisions for myself, especially like things that are going to affect my finances. Like,
you would need that for somebody who opted into the situation because they checked themselves into an institution, not for free people with free will and free thought. It just occurred to me how crazy that is. It just is really, really crazy that somebody would own all of your ongoings and do all your business.
Yeah, everything
for
she
you
does in her career
because they think
with
that
her
you're
money
not stable because of something that happened in 2002.
Yeah, it's insane. And I also like to note that stan culture in this era of pop is also different. So you have this whole community of people who started Free Britney, and who's been watching her over these past years as she's come to social media, and they feel like she's kind of maybe saying help. Now, that's not up to me. I'm not that deep into it to say that that's what's going on, but I have seen some weird videos where I question what was going on with Britney and what is this?
Yeah, but I mean, like you said, you just kind of quoted some things that she said where she says help. You know what I'm saying? That's what bothers me. I guess she could be encoding that she needs help on her Instagram or social media for that matter. But the interviews that they have in that documentary are very clear cut. Matter of fact, I would like to be free. So it's not as if we're somebody we don't need even dig.
You don't even need to dig for how she feels. It's right there. And I have to point out one more moment that pissed me the hell off in that doc. So one of the people being interviewed was, you know, Big Paparazzi Man.
Oh yeah.
Back in this time.
That was his name. He was Big Paparazzi Man.
Yeah. He was one of those people that said, our relationship started positive and she loved it. She loved the attention. She loved it. Okay. Well, there is a particular night in which he, quote unquote, politely stalked her, because that's what he was doing when he was in two different locations that she was in. He started somewhere. She said, leave me alone. He didn't. Followed her somewhere else. She said, leave me alone. He didn't. And that resulted in his car being vandalized.
And just barely.
But he actually victimized himself after pretty much telling us, I stalked her and asked for something that she said no to and continued to pursue her. it's wild to me that he thought that was okay, because she clearly said no. Somebody even said, well, why didn't you leave her alone? Because she said, leave me alone. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, sometimes she says that, but she doesn't mean it forever. Yeah. So, huh?
Okay, listen. First and foremost, you're taking a wild agency whenever you're saying somebody doesn't mean something that they said. And that agency is usually granted by knowing the person very, very, very well, intimately almost. Maybe necessarily
Does
intimate.
He really do. Think they friends?
That's the thing. There's a psychosis there. That person is far more in need of a conservator than Britney Spears, based off the fact that he doesn't know that he doesn't have a relationship with Britney Spears. And Britney Spears clearly did.
You are a stalker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's simply put. I mean...
And you know what? He's one of those people.
The fact
I'm sure,
that he was appalled that she got that pissed off is wild to me. You're stalking her.
But in real time, when people are doing a job, and they're doing a job that disenfranchises other people, they say stuff and like commit to ideas like, this is the way the world works.
Yeah.
This is just how things are. It's a dog eat dog world. That's what people do. Whenever they're doing stuff like this, he's just part of a system.
But again, a moment where she was provoked and it was caught on camera, which added to the scrutiny. But I would do the same thing, Brittany. You ain't do shit wrong. Leave me alone when I say it or catch these hands. No. That simple as that.
Yeah, I feel that. I mean, a lot of us wouldn't have let that get as far as it went. I don't know. It's tough. I really had not been paying that much attention to this situation until the documentary and Jasmine bringing it up. And now, of course, it's back in headlines. But again, I don't think it would have ever occurred to me to have a daughter and to take agency over, you know, her whole life in that, right? The fact that some people see that as something that makes a lot of sense is wild to me. And if anything, it's really just a money grab. It's greedy. And it's at the sake of your family. It disgusts me that people will literally burn their family to the ground for a check.
Ooh. I just can't imagine, because knowing like my relationship with my parents, like I can't imagine if they used and abused me in that way. Like I can't even imagine that this is a real thing that goes on.
And there's There's a long history of that. I mean, like, you know, child stars, they were always talking about how weird it was whenever a child star got big and how the parent would be like, well, I'm handling the deals for them now. You know, you got to go through me to get to the child. And sometimes, you know, the child's trying to get emancipated in some way, shape, or form. That happens so often in like the 80s, 90s. We started getting a little bit more mental health oriented by the time Zendaya comes up. Thank God. Needed her.
I'm thinking about Britney Spears and Mariah Carey and how much we laughed at their expense. At the expense of their mental health at
Whitney,
that.
Michael, Prince. I mean,
so many
super
of them
long, actually.
It's so sick to think how ingrained in entertainment and pop culture their lives were, that we were literally laughing at them in their weakest moments. Like there was an episode of Family Feud where the question was, name something Britney lost this year. Her mind?
Yeah, I mean, people answered it.
Like,
this is
what?
A human being that was living on the face of the planet at the time. But you know what? You saying that made it reminded me that boundaries is the real reason why people have been able to get out of this, because Rihanna killed Snapchat whenever they decided to come for her.
Baby.
Snapchat did one goofy thing and Rihanna was like, guess what? Suck a dick. And that was the end of that.
Yeah, it's so sick to think about. And like, you watch any of them shows they bringing back for you to watch reruns of, you'll find a Mariah Carey joke, a Michael Jackson joke, a Britney Spears joke. And it's not that great of content.
In
hindsight.
It really has forced some of our greatest comedians to work better at the material. I know Chris Rock is very much a victim of one of these people who were just talking a lot of shit. And like, what you just, this is all you got. You know, I'm glad he's had to force himself into a box for cancel culture. Being forced into whatever you guys think is cancel culture, it's not cancel culture. All right, I have to say this for a reason, because you are put on this earth to be good stewards to your neighbors. If you are marginalizing your neighbors in any kind of way and somebody's like, stop, just do it. sense. You don't have to be so concerned with things changing so much and tradition and just people just take stuff so seriously. No, you guys have been racist and sexist and homophobic and transphobic and all sorts of phobic for so long that you've convinced yourself that American tradition has to be stronger than that. Stronger than just offending other Americans. That's because these are people. That yeah. You're next to. So, yeah, it's time for the tide to turn on those things. And, I mean, it's a sad story. Hopefully, 20 years from now, nobody's doing the podcast and talking about these things. You know what will happen? Somebody will be like, Snapchat said something crazy about Rihanna and Chris Brown. Rihanna stopped it. And that was the end of that. We need more stories like that.
Yes, absolutely. So, this weekend, we got the D'Angelo and quote unquote Friends versus live.
Quote unquote.
Quote unquote, because Friends.
Are those your friends, D'Angelo?
We're using that very loosely, okay? Because for one, Method Man and Red Man, that's like a package deal. So that's one friend to me.
It's one friend, okay.
Yes. Yeah. Basically. And then her wasn't expecting that. I think the problem is it was not Friends we were expecting, like, at all.
I mean, you can say problem, but I mean, I think we were expecting Raphael Sadiq and like Lauryn Hill, but I mean, you know, that would have been a little bit worth some money, maybe.
You're probably right about that. I didn't expect Lauryn, but I definitely expected some other people from, you know, the genre. But that's neither here nor there. Without that, it was still a good show if that was the vibe you're in, like you at home with your little drink and your two-step. It was a good vibe. It was a good live show. If you're deep into his catalog especially, I'm sure you enjoyed this 100%. So
I really enjoyed the her best part mashup into Nothing Even Matters. I thought that was really great.
That was quality.
Super of the JD Network.
I don't expect any less from her. Like, she gonna always show up and kill it.
She is very much a student of the game.
She is.
I mean, when I look at her, I think... It's so weird saying that like that. When I look at her, I think, man, I feel like this person respects all of her goats. Like, I never feel like she's disrespecting the genre. And I appreciate her for that.
She is definitely one that studies and respects it. So that was a good addition. He gave this whole aesthetic with like the big black coat and the cigarette hanging out his mouth. It didn't miss a vocal.
No, not at all. You know, whenever you got natural born talent, you can do whatever you want to your body and it just never goes away. You can just whatever. You just walk around. But D'Angelo was born with auto-tune and he still has it.
He gonna sing down regardless of the situation.
I mean, nobody does that like him. But definitely a vibe. And I'd be actually here for like more concert series style verses. This is a nice transition. I think I'm a little bored with this versus that person anyway. Let's do some concert series.
I'm not mad at the spice and the sauce they threw on it. Like, I wasn't upset at what they made. So what happened was Maxwell was supposed to be his verses on Valentine's Day. But for whatever reason, Maxwell couldn't do it. But the thing is, when you got somebody like D'Angelo that agrees to something like this, you don't cancel it. You figure out how you gonna make this work still, because he still deserved that stage to perform like that. So it didn't work out, and I would have appreciated it because I love me some Maxwell, okay?
Yeah, and you know what? They're of that class of artists that only come out to play when they have work to present for real, for real.
Yes.
I mean, and honestly, those are our goals. Like, to some level, like, you don't really want Rihanna to drop an album right now. You want her to drop it when it's ready. Same with Frank. Same with Kendrick. Same with D'Angelo. You're there of that list where you're just like, what? You gonna do something? You must really want to do it.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
so true. I really like that. And so let's keep that energy going. I like Maxwell and Friends. I like Brian McKnight and Friends.
Damn,
Joe and
it.
Friends.
Yes.
Genuine and one whatever friend he has left.
oh no, that wasn't supposed to last. but yeah, I mean.
We got Tyrese and Tank.
They not friends.
No, they not.
Come on now. But yes, shout out again to Swizz Beatz and Timbaland for keeping this thing going and doing something for the people. We'll continue to tune in.
Oh yeah, you know what? I had that idea. I was like, you know, the last verses should be a Big and Friends. Am I Big and Friends? You know what I want? I want Dave Chappelle and Friends, because if you know If you know, then you know that that's comedy and music, and it's going to be like,
ooh, that's a palooza.
I know. It's a block party. We could do it again. The first thing outside I want is Dave Chappelle block party, too. I want, it's perfect, too, because Kanye's free.
Okay.
He's not busy. Okay. All right. So we're going to do a One Gotta Go D'Angelo edition. Now, this is really fickle because Jazz and I may have mentioned this before, but D'Angelo's more of a package deal artist. Ideally, you want to listen to him by the album and not by the song.
Yes, absolutely.
But we will pick these four songs because these are four very largely stamped songs in our community. It's so funny to pivot from Britney Spears to this because this is black as hell.
I know. I mean, a whole different wavelength.
Yeah, we're going to put timestamps in this. So here's the four. Okay, you want me to name them or you want to name them?
You do it.
All right. So we're going to start off with Brown Sugar. Sugar. Okay. All right. That's all the falsetto y'all going to get out of me. And then we're going to do Untitled, How Does It Feel? And then we're going to do...
Lady.
Lady.
You're my lady.
And you know what's crazy? Like, okay, we're going to do the fourth one, and I'll say what's crazy.
Okay.
The fourth one is Nothing Even Matters.
So say that again.
Nothing Even Matters.
All four.
Oh. Brown Sugar, Untitled, How Does It Feel? Lady, Nothing Even Matters.
Woo! That's heat for you.
I'll tell you one thing. If you put those four songs back to back, you're going to have to excuse yourself.
Man, I feel like I'm going to get beat up for my answer. Like, I'm going to get stoned or something.
Oh my God,
because I think I know what mine is.
You go ahead and answer. Disappoint me.
Oh, no, it's bad.
Go ahead, disappoint me.
It's Brown Sugar.
No, that's mine too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but Brown Sugar's mine. Yeah.
Yeah, Brown Sugar.
Untitled definitely has cracking. I don't know if you guys have ever listened to the extended version of Untitled, How Does It Feel? But at one point, it just stops and he goes... And it gets louder and louder. And they'd be like... Ah. He'd be like... Oh shit! Like, what's happening? One really warm Saturday, I just had the blinds open. I put that on really loud, and I was like half asleep, and it was like, I was like, oh my god, what is happening to me? D'Angelo's a different kind of beast.
It's tough.
That's a different kind of beast, son. Yeah, Brown Sugar, just by far, I think it just doesn't have the exact same effervescence.
Okay.
The soulful effervescence that I like that's inside of Untitled. And Nothing Even Matters, and Lady.
Okay. Well, we agree. Yay.
You know what it is,
still
too?
Think we might get in trouble.
We might get in trouble. All three of those songs are almost lazy, but they're amazing. They're not for the busy person. They're for you to really stop moving, too. I like that.
All right. Well, I think that brings the show to a close.
All right. See you guys next time.
Holla.
Wear your mask still. Can
wear your mask.